All right. So, hey guys, my name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic. I do have a sobriety date. It's 10-10-13. I do have a sponsor. Her name is Leanne Ross. And you can find me every Thursday night from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Women's Healing Place in Louisville, Kentucky. And for those things, I'm super, super grateful. So I'm going to try to tell you real quick in a general way what I was like, what happened, and what it's like today. Do that to the best of my ability. I do like to tell people that I have memory issues. So the story I tell you today is the truth I'm standing in, right? 2 weeks from now, it's probably going to be different. A year ago, it was definitely different. And if you ask anybody that I dragged along that road, they're going to tell you a different story. So I grew up in an alcoholic home. I did not know that that was the case. What happened was my mom was a drinker. She would always go to different places to try to dry out, try to get better. What I saw as a little kid is that my mom would be begging my dad not to go, and she would be crying, and then my mom would be gone for a while. And as I grew up, I kind of noticed what was going on. Eventually, my dad did leave my mom, and we began to live in different places, and my mom's drinking got worse and worse and worse. I remember as a little kid, part of the things that would happen is the drinking would cause these consequences in our lives, right? We would come home, mom would be drunk, there would be fights, there would be things going on that were not supposed to be going on in a loving home. So eventually what happened is I got taken from my mom. My sister also got taken. We got put in foster homes. While I was in the foster home, I remember one of the most difficult things that happened for me is they had put like a no contact order between my mom and us. And I remember like walking into the courtroom and my stepmom, who was an amazing woman, came. We were living in Iowa and she came all the way up from Kentucky. And she came to that courtroom and I remember they told us, they were like, you cannot talk to your mom. Like, you're not allowed to be around her. You're not allowed to talk to her. And I remember as a little tiny kid, like, sitting in that courtroom with, you know, like, all of that oak around. And I watched my mom come in, and she ran towards me. And she went down like this, and her eyes started crying. She wanted to give me a hug. And I had to turn away and walk the other direction. And as a small kid, this is kind of the things that happen. Alcoholism kind of destroyed her ability to be a mother. And I would have told you on that day when they handed me my little girl and they set her on my lap and I looked down and I said, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen and I love you so much. If you were to tell me that I would be the person that would cause that child more pain, more suffering than anyone on the planet, I would have asked you to come outside and I would have fought you because I wasn't going to do that and that wasn't me. But alcohol, right? But alcohol, we don't get to say, right? We don't get to say when it's over. We don't get to say, you know, that I wanted and had all the intentions in the world to wake up every morning and be the best mom that I could be to that little girl. And slowly, little by little, step by step, right? I used to listen to Amy, and she'd say, I don't know which drink it was that they slid down the bar that I gave up for my daughter, but it happened. Eventually what happened, things got worse and worse and worse, and I like to commit crimes sometimes, and so there was a lot of crime committing going on. Thank goodness at some point during all of this crazy madness, that little girl, that little beautiful girl with those big blue eyes, she eventually got taken away from me. When I tried to get her back, it was crazy and wild. It was the stories that we have, right? One night, I was getting ready to go take her to Walmart. I was going to get her a bike. And I remember that I've actually talked to her about this moment. And what she said is that I told her at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to go. We're going to get in the car. We're going to go to Walmart. We're going to get you that bike, right? And that's what I believed was going to happen. And right before that happened, I had to do what I needed to do. And I ended up overdoing it, and I ended up dying in my room. And that little six-year-old girl was on the other side of that room, and she knew how to tell time. And this little girl was knocking on that door, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. laying on the floor in there. And this is how I know that there is a power greater than me, and this is how I know that that power works in my life, even when I don't believe that it's there. That 6-year-old little girl went into her closet and she took down a hanger. She straightened that wire hanger and she came back to that door. She unlocked that door and she opened up the door and she found me there, and thank goodness that there was a roommate. She ran and got him. And they came and got me in the ambulance. And there's a lot of different people that I've heard talk about, like, moments that they've been gone, moments that they, you know, like, weren't there anymore, that they died, and things that they saw. And what I can tell you is that it was blank, it was empty, and it was black for me. I remember being in the ambulance, and as I'm waking up, what I saw were these long shadow fingers coming over top of me, and they were grabbing me and pulling me down. And I felt like I was being pulled in a box about this big, and I'm trying to rip things off of me. And they take me to the hospital, and the best that I could do was tell people to give me my discharge papers. I'm leaving now if you don't give them to me. And these people had just saved my life. Not one time did I pick up the phone and call. Is anybody with Kaylin? Is my daughter okay? Is she doing all right? Is there somebody there? Not one time did I think about that little girl. When I finally got discharged and I went back home and I went upstairs, she had no mom there. She had no dad there. She had no cousin. She had no aunt. She had no uncle. She had nobody. A 6-year-old little girl. And when I went back up those stairs, she was in the first door on the right. And she had the top part of a bunk bed, and there in that top bunk lay a 6-year-old little girl in the middle of the night. And instead of walking in that room, crawling in that bed, hugging her, saying, I love you, I'm sorry, this will never, are you okay? I'm so sorry, sweetheart, I love you so much, this will never happen again. I walked right past that door, and I went back into my bedroom, and I did the thing that just killed me. And that's alcoholism, and that's a cup. That's what I look like in my cups. That is probably the worst moment that I have that I can remember. And that's what I look like. That's what my alcoholism looked like. What happened for me is, thank goodness they removed that child from my home. I did not stop at that time, but the Department of Justice is very persuasive. And they decided that I had a problem. I did not agree with them. But for some reason, whatever it was, and I don't know what it was, I decided to do what they said that they wanted me to do. And so I ended up going to this place in Louisville, Kentucky called the Women's Healing Place. I like to say that while I was there, I kind of caught alcoholism because I didn't have it, right? When I got there, that wasn't me. That's not, I was doing time. I got into that book. I got an amazing sponsor that helped me in so many different ways, and was able to guide me through those steps. And those women in that place loved me until I could love myself. They taught me how to be a mom. They taught me how to be a friend. They taught me how to be a daughter. They taught me how to be the person that I am today. And today, my daughter is now 23 years old. She lives in my room upstairs. That's not where she moved out and got evicted, and now she's upstairs. But I am the, all right, yeah, kind of parent out of guilt a little bit. We can talk about that later after the meeting. If you guys got any stories, I can help you with that, at least let you know you're not alone. But she calls me during amazing times. She calls me during sad times. She calls me when anything's wrong. I am the first phone call that she makes. Sobriety's given me so much, and I think the most amazing thing that it's given me is a tribe of women that when I fall down, they're there to pick me up and they're there to carry me. It's given me the ability to be a mom, to be a friend, to be a daughter, and just to let go of the control that I feel like I have to have every day and just let go. Let's see what happens next, man. Because this is amazing and this is fun. And regardless of the question, love is always the answer. Thank you guys. My name is Rachel. I'm out.